politician. Can you make a right decision for all of us? For all of us. Politician.
I ngā mana, I ngā reo, I ngā iwi o te motu, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. It's Tuesday evening, so it's time for Straight Talk with Shane Tupou. We've got a lot to kōrero about te Ngāre Te Whānau. Thank you for joining me throughout the motu. We've got a new government, we've got a new coalition, and we are about to have an opposition that is sworn in, including our first guest for the evening, Kahurangi Kata, from the Greens. Tēnā koe, Kahurangi.
Oh, tēnā koe, Shane. Lovely to be here. And great start song there.
Yeah, great song. Hey, Kahurangi, I'm going to get into the politics of the day a little bit later on this interview. I'm particularly focused on new MPs, so you are a new list MP. Let's start, as we all do, as Māori, with our whakapapa, and tell us about your upbringing.
Absolutely. Well, kia ora te whānau. Te uria hau o Rangi Nui, rawa ko Papatua Anaku. Nō Ngāti Manyapoto, nō Tainui Ahau. And I was raised by my mum, alongside my siblings, in a small farming community in the Waikato. And we lived on the river and ate from our garden. And I just remember going on adventures and always having lots of kids around. I guess you could say we were rich in whānau. My mum wanted us to have lots of experiences, so we played lots of sports, and education was really important to her. I come from quite an academic whānau, so I went off to uni when I was 17, and I wasn't one of those people that knew what I wanted to do. I just knew that learning was important and that I'd probably have a fun time at uni. And then I had my kids in my early 20s, and so my career really followed what worked best for the whānau. And I did a stint at Kōhanga Reo, being the kaiwhakahaere, so I could be with my kids during the day. I also worked as a cleaner because that's what fit in and meant that I had the most whānau time. So yeah, now they're teenagers and I am embarking on this new part of my career, which is being an MP for the Green Party.
So let's just look back at, your upbringing. Were you a political whānau? Were your whānau involved in politics, or is that something that sort of evolved later in life?
Yeah, good, great questions. Yes, actually, my grandfather, Fred Thomas, was the mayor of the North Shore, which they called Takapuna City back then, for I think it was about 21 years. So he was a really long-standing mayor there. And I guess that's something that Mum instilled in us, was that public service, that duty to the planet and to the people. And we didn't necessarily have what we would think were political conversations, but they were ways of thinking about reciprocity, about giving back, about being part of a wider community that informed the way I think of the world. So I'm big afi to my grandparents, Fred and Mary Thomas. Fred, he loved the garden, and he would always plant native trees, and so we always lived by the water and knew the value of giving back to the whenua.
Now, Kahurangi, we met about 3 months ago on the political hustings, where I facilitated a debate down in Christchurch, Kahurangi, and I was sitting there thinking, where do I know this person from? And then sort of the light come on, Kahurangi, and you've been an actor in quite a successful Netflix-based series. Tell our whānau about that.
Oh yes, in a previous life, I am a trained actor, and I got to do lots of different experiences, and one of them was being in this Netflix show called Sweet Tooth. Now they cut me out of most of the scenes I was in, so if you blink, you'll miss me. But I got to experience lots of amazing things being an actor, working on a story, being able to tell a message, and just, being around really interesting and passionate people. I think one of the highlights of my theatre and acting career was writing a show called Aroha is a Māori, and it was about a young girl who was trying to find her place in the world and navigate the challenges that come along with people judging somebody and putting expectations on somebody before they actually know them. So that was really fun, and we had that at the Basement Theatre in Auckland.
Kia ora. Now let's get into politics. What attracted you particularly to the Greens?
Well, I've always been a Green supporter, and what really resonates with me is the Green Party kaupapa, which is that deep care for the planet and for the people. Being an environmentalist, I take my lead from Papatūānuku and Ranginui, and I know that what is important, what is really important, is having a deep connection with our papa so that we can leave a legacy of abundance for our mokos and every generation after, so that they can swim in our rivers, so that they can collect kaimoana from our oceans, and that they can stand on top of the maunga and breathe fresh air. And that is something that really drives me.
Now, look, we've had a government that was formed on Friday, sworn in yesterday, and one of the many things they're looking at repealing or reintroducing is oil exploration, where you look at many countries, green jobs are quite the fad, look sustainable, and bring new technology to the front. So, Kōrangi, tell me about your view in terms of oil exploration and but how we can continue to grow our economy in a strong way that is environmentally friendly and sustainable.
I am so glad you asked this question, because the Green Party actually does have a petition up right now, which is to save the ban. That means we don't want this ban uplifted so that oil exploration in our moana can reopen. Now, this came from the people. Our people in Aotearoa know the value of tangaroa. They know, they knew, they didn't want to have this deep sea exploration. And so we have got, and that came from the power of the people, from people signing petitions, from people turning out, from people writing to the MPs. So at the moment, we protect only less than 1% of our moana. Less than 1%. Let's just let that sink in. We know that climate action is so important, and we know it's important to the people of Aotearoa, no matter which way you voted. So this is about climate action. We have to keep fossil fuels in the ground. There is more technology coming out. That means that we don't need to use these fossil fuels in our cars. We don't need them to make plastic, because really, that's what oil does. It makes plastic. Oil, sure, transport is part of that, but a lot of this oil that companies are looking for is
That's
just
right.
plastic production. So if we think of it that way, let's look at some other technologies that can replace plastic, technologies that mean that things can actually go back into the whenua and nurture and rejuvenate the whenua, so that we can then, have healthy soil and grow our kai and make sure that we are looking after Papatūānuku. One of my campaign slogans, Shane, was loyal to
Yes.
the soil. So there we are. We are going to be loyal to the soil.
Now, one of the, it's not a criticism, but one of the observations that many people are having about the Greens is that it was formed on an environmental basis, but now has also moved to be quite strong on social and economic issues. In fact, some say that it's lost its green kaupapa focus. What's your answer in respect to that kōrero, Kōrangi?
All of the Green MPs are environmental MPs, and we are all social justice MPs, because we cannot have climate justice without social justice. They go hand in hand. When we think about the teachings of Ranginui and Papatūānuku and that reciprocity, that is what is really important. And what you'll find is that our Green MPs are so smart. They are evidence-based. We are evidence-based. We look at what is happening with the community. We talk to the community about things that are really important. And so climate justice and tiriti justice and social justice all go hand in hand. It's not playing one off against the other. And I'm so happy to talk to anyone further about this as well, because I'm really passionate about that justness. You know what our Matua Moana Jackson talked about so strongly was justness. So justness for the people and for the planet. And we just have to look at his teachings and his kōrero to know that they are intertwined. And from a Te Ao Māori worldview, we know that everything is woven together like a beautiful kete. So that is where that comes in. And I think people don't need to worry, because all of our Green MPs, we are here for the planet and we are here for the people.
Now, Kōrangi, the government has said they've got a 100-day plan, which includes the following: repeal of fair pay agreements, repeal of oil exploration, a bill supported the first reading that will devoid a kaupapa Māori from government departments, including te reo. And, of course, doing away with the smoking cessation aims for 2025. Now, to combat that, you're going to, having the numbers in Parliament to beat the government's numbers in terms of pure votes is going to be very difficult. But, Kōrangi, how do we rebuild a movement based on protest, based on our community, where we've got commonality of interest? How do we do that? Because really that's the key to combating such an aggressive agenda, isn't it?
Yeah, there is some whoppers coming through, and I sit there and breathe heavily and just process the repercussions of what some of these plans mean for everyday Kiwis and for our whenua. So we know at the Green Party what our job is, and our job is to represent the voices of the communities who aren't represented by the parties in government. And there are levers in which we can do that. There are legal ways that we can do that. If something actually is not legally sound, we can look into that. Yes, absolutely. Petitions like our Save the Ban petition to protect our moana, that is the power of the people, because that's where the power really lies. We're put here by the people to represent what the people want. There's writing letters to MPs, there's meeting with your local MPs, and actually ensuring that we know what is important to the people, and that is what we're going to be pushing. And what is important for the Greens is that we know what the evidence is, we know what our communities need, so that we can make sure that we are holding the government to account and using all those levers to really make the positive change that we need to for our futures.
Now, Kōrangi, the Greens did particularly well at this election, got the highest vote, and you were a benefactor of it. Correct me if I'm wrong. I understand that.
Exactly.
You're the last. You were picked last from the list. But tell me, why do you think that the left, particularly Labor, went down, but the Greens not only held ground but increased their political ground?
It was a historic win for the Greens, with more MPs in Parliament than ever before, and also those three electoral seat wins for Chloe Swarbrick in Auckland Central, Tamitha Paul in Wellington Central, and Julianne Genta in Rongotai. So we are fizzing over there, and we have to give credit to our policy team, to our staff, and to our amazing volunteers, because we did so much work in ensuring that we had costed policies, that we had policies that resonated with New Zealanders, like our free dental, like our climate-safe communities, like our pledge to renters. And these are things that resonate with everyday Kiwis. And we just had this tight team and our volunteers. Mm. Oh, my gosh. We built this movement. We built this green wave. And we were all just rowing that waka together. So that resonates with the people of New Zealand when you speak the truth, when you follow the evidence. And when we go back to that care and manaaki and aroha, for Papa Tuanaku and the people, people really relate to that and really get behind it. And that's what we saw in, throughout this campaign. And yes, I am so grateful that I got in there on the special votes, and I feel that responsibility, and I am ready.
Mm. But you did particularly well in Christchurch. You know, you got 5,500 special votes, 13%. We look at Banks Peninsula. Your colleague there got over 6,000 votes. Why do you think the Green Party did particularly well in Christchurch?
Christchurch is an amazing place, and people here, we know what the people actually care about, and the top things that they care about are climate and cost of living. And I think when they saw our policies, it really made sense to them. We also had this incredible team of candidates, just such a strong team, with our volunteers behind us. And we had people showing up and saying, hey, I really want to put this fundraiser on for you. Can we fundraise some money for you? Can we turn up to your events and support? And so in Christchurch Central, where I stood, we got 19.6% of the party vote, which is well above the national average for the Green Party. So that was a really strong, clear message that Te Waipounamu cares for Papa Tuanaku and for our people.
Now, Kohirangi, tell us what you think the most important issues are in Christchurch Central and sort of the local campaigns or programs or kaupapa that you want to particularly support.
Kia ora, yeah. When we were out there door knocking and talking to people on the phones and talking at our market days, it came through really strongly that Ōtautahi cares about a fair and just Aotearoa. And that means climate justice, and that means making sure that people have enough for the basic necessities. People were really concerned about homes and making sure that everyone has a home that they can live in, that they have access to good kai and education and things to live a thriving life. And it was also really clear that people really care about climate, at the climate change and tackling that. So you know who's got the solutions for these things? Mm. The Green Party, Te Pāti Kākāriki. And so I'm excited to get out there. I've been, since being elected, I've been out there talking with community organisers, looking at the services that are available within Ōtautahi, and really understanding what a change in government means for some of their funding. So looking at how we can support that and make sure that their voices are heard in Wellington.
Now, Kahurangi, you've talked about access to good quality kai. Food sovereignty is an issue. Food security is an issue. Even without the inflation that we're currently experiencing, you know, inflation has an impact on the poor, but when inflation goes down, people are still poor, still don't have access to kai. Tell us about how do you think in the mid to long term we can address the issue of access to kai and kai security, which seems to me to be a pretty basic fundamental here in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
What we do know, Kahurangi, don't we, is there's enough to go around.
Yes, that is exactly it, Shane. There is enough kai to go around, and people actually don't have access to it. I know that I was so excited to see cucumbers down to $2 last week because they were like at $8 at one point, and that is just absolutely unacceptable. In my mahi at Parakore, we did a lot of mahi around food sovereignty, taking the lead from amazing people like Ponamu Skelton and Dr. Jessica Hutchings, who really champion kai sovereignty and localised food sources. So we at Parakore planted a food forest at Romamarai way up north, and having the kaumātua come along, community groups and children from the Kura Kaupapa, to create this food forest that will have enough food to feed hundreds of people ongoing is a solution to having kai available for everyone. You know, I actually just have this vision of kids walking to school past local parks and in their schools, that there is just fruit and kai growing everywhere. That is what kai sovereignty is about. And I know that we do have to look at, you know, where the other sources are, but if we can actually have kai growing and actually reconnect with the whenua by learning these skills that, you know, our grandparents had, my mum has, and I'm still learning about it too, but these things can make a massive impact and take back that tino ranga tiritanga, that sovereignty, so that we know where we're getting our kai, rather than at the moment, we don't know where our kai is being grown necessarily. It could be in New Zealand, it could be somewhere else. So local, and giving back those skills is one solution, and there are many.
Now, Kahurangi, the last question I want to ask you is on through an international lens, we've witnessed day after day the tragedy that's been unfolding in Gaza and Palestine. The Greens were the first to demand a ceasefire. We've got what some describe as a pause. What can little New Zealand, right down at the bottom of the Southern Hemisphere, do to ensure that there is a ceasefire and ongoing peace in the Palestine?
Thank you for asking this question, Shane. Palestine is on my heart and mind every day. You know, when I look at my tamariki and I get to put them to sleep at night, I know they're going to wake up in the morning, and I think about those whānau who are putting their kids to sleep and not knowing whether they're going to wake up. And this is everybody's issue in the whole world. We need to demand peace. We need to demand a ceasefire so that these babies can wake up tomorrow and have food and water and all the things. There is, my children are just as valuable as every child in the world, including our Palestinian whānau. So I implore to you to look up Nakba, understand the history of the Israeli and Palestinian conflict, and please write to your local MPs. get a group together and actually say, hey, we'd like to come and meet with you. Get a group of two or three of you. There is amazing resources out there like PSNA Aotearoa, who you can just look up their website. But this is everybody's issue. If we allow this to continue, we are part of the problem. So please, whānau, demand a ceasefire. And I just want to, my heart goes out to all of the Palestinian whānau living in New Zealand who have whānau in Gaza and are living every day worried that their whānau won't wake up tomorrow. So ceasefire now.
Kia ora. Kahurangi, thank you very much for joining me this evening, and we look forward to our continued kōrero as you go on your journey to being a member of parliament. Kia ora.
Wonderful to talk. Kia ora, Shane.